welcome once again to beautiful Uptown Burbank. Carmentown is now in session. Let's welcome to the stage Spencer Crittenden, everybody. Spencer Crittenden. Steve Levy bringing me a cocktail. He'll be back. The mayor of Harmontown. You know him. You love him. Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My dog was, it's the weekend, so, and it's like, the dog has a dog sitter, like, all week. Allison, she's lovely.
Which dog?
Harvey. Well, I'm talking about Harvey. I'm telling a story about my relationship with Harvey, because Nigel gets lots of, I don't know, he's a snuggler and stuff, and Harvey's a very large dog. I don't say that in front of him. I call them both. I say my two equally normal-sized dogs, because there's no such thing as a normal dog. It takes a long time to say, and that's why it's kind of exhausting. And so on the weekends, which is when I'm there the most, like Harvey, who is a creature of warmth and love, like, I don't know, sometimes he gets a little antsy, like he thinks maybe when I get up to go get more ice cream or like emergency battery for whatever electronic device I'm staring at. Like, and then he gets all excited. Like, he thinks maybe I'm going to jog around the block or wrestle a bear with him. I was going to breakfast today, and he got excited and ran over to the door because he's like, oh man, he's going outside. He's probably like Alice on the dog sitter. He's probably going to like put a leash on me and go running around with me. And I looked at him and I said, listen, man. Like, you know the score. Like, I'm a bad dog owner. Like, I'll just relax, and we're both gonna die, and I'll see you in heaven. And I heard myself say that, and I thought it was kind of funny, the idea of dogs going to heaven, and then like you know, us actually all going to the same heaven, because then everything you ate would be in heaven, and like. Octopus are like really smart creatures and they'd all be in heaven, but like there's like a obviously it's like a six-year-old thinks of this stuff, like, but just the idea of all biology merging in heaven, which is what happens in life because you die and you break down, so isn't heaven, that's heaven's just, it doesn't exist and it's nothing. It's not news to you guys. I just had to kind of, I don't know where that was going to go. It's just that I didn't want to open the show and go, so Donald Trump Jr. had this meeting. I didn't want to, like, I figure you guys are running from that. And I didn't want to go, so Game of Thrones, you're missing it. Thank you so much.
Oh, man.
A hit. This better be a Game of Thrones hit.
Yeah.
That we're experiencing.
Have you guys
here.
Seen Game of Thrones yet? I did. Oh, yeah. You guys want to know who dies?
I don't want spoilers, but I'm enough of an anarchist to want you to spoil it right now.
Does
his name rhyme with Braun Flo?
I don't know.
Do you guys want my opinion about Lena Dunham's dog?
Dan, what's your opinion on Lena Dunham's dog?
No,
I was thinking about that. I was
Spencer,
reading that article.
Spencer, I don't want to know his opinion about whatever he just said.
I was reading the article about it, and I was like, I wonder what Dan's opinion on this is. This is a perfect opportunity.
I don't think that animal adoption shelters should do that. I think that people that want dogs to be happy and end up in good homes should see the bigger picture. I feel like, what does Lena Dunham have to do before we stop kicking her in the face? What did she do?
I don't know what you're talking about. So hit me to the jive here.
She's lying about her dog.
I mean,
she's throwing it around.
She took her dog to. She gave up her dog she had for 4 years because it, and she said it was biting. It had aggressive behavior and it had a dark past and something and whatever she said. What the fuck? She's not under oath, and she's not a goddamn. What's the definition of a lie? She had the dog for 4 years. She's giving it up, and it bit people. But then there was like this communique issued by the shelter she got it from that was like, Miss Dunham adopted that dog from us. We knew it for 3 weeks, and that dog certainly never exhibited. It was like this big long like, Miss Dunham. Miss Dunham says, however, according to this animal shelter, they didn't what the fuck are you doing? So don't do that. I want to tell people Nigel got his stitches out, he's home, he's safe. What if the animal hospital was like, he had bruises that we couldn't account for? You're not a fucking social worker.
Are you admitting that Nigel has bruises that can't be accounted
for? He fell.
He keeps falling. So I thought it was like someone came to interview the shelter, being all like, oh, what's the score? And then someone's like,
No, that's not what I saw. I saw an open letter to the people about fucking someone's dog adoption.
Oh, that's
true.
That's kind of a bummer. Yeah, I thought someone came and interviewed the guy, and he was like, here's what I know. But yeah, that's kind of weird if they're like, no, that's not true.
Well, let's just commit to the sadness. Like, I was going to have something happy to talk about. George Romero died. Martin Landau died.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Romero was one of the first Hollywood meetings I ever had. Rush Rob and I came out here. I can't remember who set it up. I don't know if it was... He was with the Gersh Agency back then. I just remember, like, wow, we're meeting George Romero, and he wore his... He wore that vest that directors wear to the meeting. And he signed a copy of... He signed Schraub's Dawn of the Dead, I think was. I can't remember what movie Schraub had him sign. I don't know. Why do people deal with celebrity death like that? Like, I worked with him once. Extra pity that he's dead. Tony and I had the honor of doing a scene together in Surfer Ninjas. Now it's bad that he's died. And here's the other thing that everyone does when it's a celebrity. Like, everyone wants to connect the dots. They're like, Tony Johnson died. Surf's up, brother. Don't watch out for those ninjas. Stop that. Stop it. Just because someone was a Ghostbuster.
George
in one
Romero
movie.
Died. You'll be eating brains of your victims in heaven.
But this, I guess this leads into, this is where I'll finish up, because I had an epiphany about this. I haven't executed this epiphany yet. I haven't acted on it, but my epiphany has been this, all right? Are you listening? Are you paying attention?
I'm buckled all the way up.
The reason I've been getting mad at people on Twitter is because for 30 years of internet usage, I have... always been assuming this one thing that was going to be a common assumption among everyone, which is that everything that you're saying on the internet is something that you're implying you would say to my face in real life or out loud in a crowded room if you're broadcasting it. And I was just taking a pee at work the other day, and I was like, because we were talking about the internet and troll, and then I was like, I don't know, it was an epiphany, and I we have all the time, and it's like, I think the warm water leaves your body and your brain shifts.
Yeah.
And whatever you were just talking about has a chance to click.
You said epiphany?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't coin it, I don't think.
I'm writing it down.
But my epiphany was, holy shit, nobody... Everyone in the world is a moron. And so when the internet gave them the ability to say things to each other, a lot of these people inherited for the first time in their life the ability to say things to anyone in any way. And so these are not people who would be at your party and then say that while you were saying what you're saying. Like, I just tweet, even when I'm in a tweet storm, I'm just doing what I do. Ask anybody that knows me. I just talk and I don't fucking stop. And I yell it at everybody. And I'm like, well, here's another thought about Lena Dunham's dog. But then I look at my replies and I think, these are all the things that people would say while I was doing that. It's like, you should be mad right away if they were going to... They're not... You're just reading their dumb little minds. That's what... You're talking to someone on the internet. That's what's happening is we have very low-grade telepathy. You're just seeing what's going on in their little lobster brain. Like it's just... Like, now they have the ability to, like, accidentally project it. They're typing it. And so you know... And they're going... They're like, I'm racist. And you're like... Well, what if you heard that as a voiceover from a guy next to you in a subway? Would you, you know, it's like, you, it's still important to know that they're racist. That's valuable information. But I wouldn't get as mad at them. I'd like turn and go like, huh, nice. And they'd be like, what? I'm racist. And he'd be like, can't fool me. Like, and I'd feel like empowered and feel like a superhero. Therefore, I wouldn't get that mad at them.
I had this idea, like an evil plan, like if I was an evil villain, that like you could take all the stupid things that people say online that in the 1940s just wouldn't be, you know, online and able to be searchable by a robot. And you get all this racist stuff, and I don't know how you flag it, but you flag it as dumb racist stuff, and you collect it all, and then you use the bot to find these people's kids when they're like 13 or 11 or 12, and you just show them all this racist stuff that their parents said and all this stupid shit, and it's like, here's your fucking parents, they're fucking dipshits, don't listen to anything they say, and it'll be like a time bomb that just goes off simultaneously like 20 years in the future, and it'll be an entire generation of like kids that are like, wow, my parents are really fucking stupid, and I just didn't see their Twitter feed all this time. The society will break down.
I'm charmed by the notion that people don't know their parents are full of shit.
No, but you just see all
four
this.
4 years old.
It'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like, I mean, I don't want to. But more importantly, like also you yourself, right? Like just anything. Like,
oh, yeah.
Here's
no,
all
for
the
sure.
shit that you said when you were activated and like thought you were fighting something.
Yeah. If my kids saw that, I'd be like, well, I can't send him to his room.
That's the thing, is that you're going to raise a generation of Pippi Longstockings. Like, they're going to have no parents because...
Yeah, it'll be great.
But they'll be sad. They'll be a little sad because the bot's going to say, here's your parents, everything they say is full of shit. And the kid's going to say, they just said happy birthday.
Just, you know, rattle the nest. Figure out what happened.
It's just the Orphan Maker 5000 right. bot just floating through neighborhoods, peeking in windows, going, love insincere. Insincerity proven.
What was the source of Pippi Longstocking's super strength? Like, why was she so?
She found
powerful?
Out her mom was racist.
She found out her mom was racist. It was her spinach. She would pull up her mom's Facebook if anybody was in trouble, and she would read like, "What is this rant about Islam?" This is easily proven with a cursory Snopes visit. Someone made a Snopes is fake news sound, or did I project that onto them? I think I can assume what, the people what, that came what, out on Game of Thrones night are.
What is that sound?
They went, You know, what else? Why else would you make that sound after I said a cursory Snopes visit? Like, wait, what are they?
They feel the same way you do. They hear the word Snopes. They go,
oh, they were kind of like breathing out. They're going like, ah, that was fun, Dan. Thanks for sharing all that. And now they feel singled out.
It also
punished.
Might have been a. What's a Pippi Longstocking?
Oh yeah, what is half of what he says? It's just grandpa gibberish. Well, let's bring up younger blood. I'm just a big fan of this person. I really don't know that much about her, so I thought, you know, get to know her where I get to know everyone else. She's out there in Brooklyn, tweeting away. She has like this amazing kind of like outlook. I mean, I've told you up here, like, you know, where I'm at, which is like starting at zero, because I felt like I was like, you heard me, you can rewind my fucking stuff and you can hear me talking about things that are true, which is that the bipartisan system doesn't work. But now we all miss it very much. I do. I'll speak for myself. And what's that sound? Why are you making that sound?
It was laughter. It was somebody laughed.
It's at the wrong time and it's the wrong kind. I am vulnerable.
Somebody was enjoying the show.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what happened to me after the election. I started experiencing vulnerability.
His name is Charlie Snopes.
I don't care. Oh, Mr. Snopes from the New Hampshire Snopes. Actually, that's not true. We're not from New Hampshire. Ah, those Snopes. Would you like some dip? That's not dip. Okay, getting annoying. Don't invite the Snopes over. Okay, look, this is I stalked her Facebook page when she was flying in today, and I was like, I don't know where I would go to the Facebook page. And I saw, you know, you can actually say things that are longer than on Twitter and stuff. This is from December 1st, this is shortly after the... Throughout the campaign and election, I felt that something was truly off about our institutions, the way people were absorbing and discussing politics, and the lack of discussion about policy. I thought for a while about the source of this problem and potential solutions, and I made a decision. I'm working on a project to develop the concept of citizenship. It's more than just knowing facts about the system, though I saw somewhere that only 36% of Americans can name the three branches of government. It's a series of habits that reinforce the ways a citizen absorbs information, participates in our system, and reacts to the decisions of those in power. It is not partisan in nature any more than the Constitution itself. It is about seeing politics at its core as identifying and solving problems. At the moment, too many see politics as a battle of dueling ideologies or degrading horrors. The concept of we the people being in charge of our own government and destiny is without faith and with few advocates. I want to rebuild that faith. We are our government. We can make decisions about our lives. We can take pride in accepting reality, even when it doesn't match our ideology. We can see how the media we consume biases our perceptions. We can fight self-serving perceptions with evidence and empathy. We can engage in identifying and solving our problems. Bigger than our individual lives, whether that is through government involvement or restraint. We can get honesty from our politicians about their plans, demand a dignity and respect for the power they hold via their offices, and punish them with ouster when they fail to bring solutions. And she goes on and on, and I want her to go on and on up here. So let's bring to the stage Caitlin Byrd. The one thing I should have asked you backstage was... Oh, wait, am I supposed to use your real name, or did I just, like...
No, it's good. I got doxed. It's great. Hi, everybody. I'm doxed.
No, but we can edit that out very easily. Okay. Because your meaningful identity to me is Gotham Girl... What's your Twitter handle?
Gotham Girl Blue.
Gotham Girl Blue. Where you have, like, 1,000 followers, which... I didn't do anything to earn 400,000. I did things that explain why I have them, but the things that you're doing in that corner of the internet seem magnificent to me, and I'm coming to you for this episode of the podcast. Just want to get a little, like, clarity, but also hear from the side, because I guess, why am I explaining to you how I'm about to interview you?
It's good. I've never been interviewed before, so this is good. I need, like, some prep. Okay, cool.
All right. Well, let's talk about...
What else are you going to ask?
You do all these kind of, like, tutorials. Like, if people go to your... You have a separate Twitter that's, like, Citizen Zero and...
Citizen Zero Blog, I think, is the name of the Twitter handle.
And you're admittedly, like, just starting that, and you're not... This isn't your wheelhouse, that in particular. Like, you're not, like, a web genius or whatever, but you're... hoping this can be in kind of a project that people get interested in. It's sort of about the analysis and of what it is. What does it mean to be an active citizen? What does it mean? And so I guess the thing that I want to start with is, because all of us are familiar with this aspect, which is arguing online about politics. How do we do that right?
Like, I guess to start, I did like actually write a post because I'm a terrible person who writes blogs forever. But the first thing I think to start with is always to have an idea of what you actually want to get out of the discussion. Like, if you go into a political discussion and your aim, you don't know what you want it to look like when it's done, you're going to end up in a flame war where you call somebody a cunt.
Because
it's going to happen.
Because you're secretly, like, not, that's what you actually are burnt up about. You can actually do yourself good and do the other people good by actually knowing that that's what you're thinking, first of all, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so like, let's do an example of how to, so if I'm just sitting over here stewing, so first of all, how do I, if I'm mad, I hate women. Like, let's say, I just
hypothetically.
Let's just say.
I hate women. I just heard about the Wonder Woman premiere, or the Wonder Woman screening where you're not allowed to have men at the thing, at the Alamo yeah. Draft House. So I just read about that on Facebook, and now I'm real mad,
yeah.
or maybe I'm not even acknowledging that I'm mad. I'm bemused.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand how illogical it is, but like, how, what should I be doing in my status update? Or, like, is that the first mistake? Is that people don't start discourse that way. They don't be honest and say, this is how I feel.
Right. I think, first of all, would be, like, what kind of topic do you actually want to cover? Because if you want to just talk about how you feel about something, there's so much space for that. There's a lot of it. But, you know, if you want to use social media as your therapy session, which is totally cool, just acknowledge that that's what you're doing. Because then people don't want to engage with you if you're, like, having those feels. I feel like that's not a great way to start a political discussion. I think the easiest way, like, I don't know, I was really upset about, I think the thread that you noticed that got you to follow me was the one about Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I started from this place where I was like, wow, I've got a lot of thoughts about Bernie Sanders, but so many in my head, so maybe I should like put them out there. And I started from this place of like, I don't want to be confrontational. I don't want this to be like, oh my God, I hate Bernie, all of you can suck it. So I came from another place because I know that that was going to end badly. So I was like, okay, let's talk about why people don't like Bernie Sanders. Let's talk about that first. Let's talk about why people might not be involved in his campaign or not feel like he insults them or feel they're distant from his concepts. At least if I get that out, then at least you know where I'm coming from when I say that I don't like him and I don't want him to be president of the United States. If I don't, it's not personal, my dislike, but it means that I have to be honest about where I'm coming from, what's motivating me, and be able to explain and defend it
right.
when somebody comes up to me.
So if you, so a good place to start from if you just want to vent some stuff, which is all of our rights to do, like, it's probably best to just be like, the more honest, the better. Although some of us are, you know, like, you want to be funny about it, and you want to, like, have a point of view, and sometimes that involves sarcasm, and sometimes that involves, like, oh, well, the next thing that's going to happen is this, and there's not really an argument there. But let's say you were honest enough to say, here's why some people don't like the Bernie movement. Here's why some of us feel a little betrayed, even as you feel betrayed and all this stuff. And you say these things and you lay out your thoughts.
Yeah.
And then so now let's go to the next step, which is you're being attacked. Someone's going to talk down to you, whatever you want to call it. But you seem to have this ability online, which was inspiring to me. Like, you don't automatically assume like that this, even though you know, because we were talking backstage and Cody said, how many times does it end with a conversion of someone? Zero. Absolutely 100% zero ever. But people are watching and we're performing on Twitter. But anyways, I'm answering your question for you. I'm going to be like a dummy, like a mannequin, like, oh God. I'm going to be like, you just said all that stuff about Bernie. Okay, so then I respond to you and I say, what makes you, because you started it with like, this is why some people, so I'm going to hit you there. And I go, okay. What makes you think you speak for the people you think you're speaking for? Why do you think you're speaking for those people?
He lost the primary by 4 million votes, so I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for a lot of people who didn't vote for him.
So then that person's going to get riled up now because you're going
Charlie Smokes liked it.
That person's now riled up because they're going to go, well, the reason he lost the primary is because the primary was not a fair fight. You can see in the leaked emails that she's conspiring against him. The Democratic Party is villainous and unfair. I don't know how I fit that in 140 characters, but I did.
No, you totally did. So my response, also in 140 characters, is that Bernie basically lost the race around March 1st, and you would need to show exactly, explain to me exactly what the DNC did before March 1st that secured the fact that he would never get enough delegates to win the nomination. If you can explain that to me, I will gladly take your position, I will acknowledge it, I will say, like, I totally understand where you feel you're coming from, but you gotta show me the evidence of a problem that could not be solved by his campaign.
Do you ever have, because I just, like, what key, because this is going to fuse with, maybe let's learn a little bit about your, like, from birth forward, like, your early story. Because I'm curious about how, after that election and those spreadsheet results, where certain demographics were revealed to be just as chaotic as life itself. Yeah. Things that we thought if you had this quality or that quality from birth, that so how has put us all into a tizzy. And there's actually on that spreadsheet, as I said, after the election, if you cross all of it, it's like there's one group of people that should be taking their hands off the wheel right now and be more jaded than ever, and that's black women, because they turned out to the polls, and like I don't know who those 3% were, 2% or whatever it was, but it was like, and did you, well, to go back to that, first of all, did you feel a betrayal
from
the next morning
from white
from
people.
Your other Democrats?
From white women,
I mean, you expected it from white men maybe, but like, were you shocked like that women didn't like Wonder Woman it through, you know, like just like as one gender?
I guess, yeah, no, first of all, I was kind of in a coma after the election results because I was with my best friend and we were hanging out and we were so excited. And then like I started calling Florida and I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not good. And my friend was like freaking out because she was, I mean, we're both black women. And she was freaking out and she was like, we gonna die. And I was like, maybe not. Maybe something will happen and then she'll win and then we won't die. And it didn't work out like that. Fortunately, we're both still alive.
I kept yelling at Cody, like he's not winning. You know, like I was like mad at her for thinking it was possible for women to have their hearts broken.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. You don't get the universe, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did feel, to a certain degree, I was like, this wasn't supposed to happen. The numbers weren't supposed to work like this. I grew up in local politics, so I actually did my first door-to-door petition drive at 3.
This will stop any minute now.
That's my car, I think.
Somebody, it was really mad about
just hear
me
those
talking about
ring,
three.
Ring ting tingle into.
So wait. Take us to the moment of birth, if that's not too invasive.
Well, it's definitely not invasive.
How long was the labor? What hospital? No, was it? Are we born and bred in New York?
Yeah, I was born and raised in New York. Both of my parents were like very civically minded. My mom curses too much to be an elected official, so she never really got into the negotiation of politics because she doesn't have patience.
Can you do an impression of your mother cursing?
No, I've died.
By the way, I'm from the future, coming through a portal into your mother's kitchen about her political career. It's not because of your swearing. It will only ever be because you're a woman. It's like we are going to elect a man who talks like a sewer.
Yeah.
And in all the ways that really matter. And then I'm going to go back through the portal and enjoy a nice cocktail.
Yeah. No, it's good. And then my dad was an actual local elected official. He actually helped preserve a local train line that was going to get torn down, and I got a chance to ride on it because he'd done all that work. And it was really cool. to kind of grow up in local politics, except that knowing all your politicians, local politicians, means that you find them really human and really petty all the time. But it was a good experience to like see what it looks like to do all the time, like petition drives and try to get people involved and all that other stuff. And then after the election, I was sitting there after having spent lots of hours yelling at my television about like, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he like loves golf. Like, why does anyone care? Who is talking about these really important things? Like, are we going to upgrade our energy grid? That's really important. We can't just let it sit there for the next 20 years deteriorating. Is anyone going to talk about global warming? Is any, like, literally at all? Like, just maybe like 5 minutes. Could you just ask him a question about climate change? And then if he doesn't answer correctly, because there's a correct answer. There's only one answer, actually. There's no multiple choice. It's like one answer. A, the Earth is getting warmer. B, then the next question would be, what are we going to do? And the answer is, fix it. That's like, there are only two answers to those questions.
You were talking backstage about the original zero-sum game, which sounds exactly like that, which is human rights.
Yeah.
Because you take it. You were telling me things about the Dixiecrats and history that I'm just here to absorb.
Because I
was thinking about Soylent or something for those years.
So, like, human rights used to be a part of the Republican Party platform when they started, like, when the Republican Party started.
And defining human rights, because now we live in this post-nationalist, like, what, do we mean American human rights, or do we mean, like...
Any human rights when you're talking about slavery, there's kind of, like, no, like, separation between American human rights and just regular human rights. They're the same concept. And when you're talking about the ability to access your civil society, like, if that's the standard that you're setting for your citizenship, like, white dudes get to participate in society. That's a human right. At that point, it's not, like, a right for a particular group. If it's necessary to make it possible for that entire group to vote, then it's necessary for everyone to be able to vote. That's how it should work. The only reason we have an age cutoff is because have you met 17-year-olds? Like, no, they're not allowed to do anything.
Yeah, I don't want a world run by me at 32 or 5 seconds ago. We move forward and we grow, and hopefully the society, whatever. Why am I doing this? A sidebar on that. Because I keep reading about voter suppression. I get gerrymandering. I understand that a little bit. That's simply the horrible kind of sometimes functional but ultimately erosive process of playing chess with like where districts are drawn but blah, blah, blah. We all know what gerrymandering is and how that is voter suppression. What is the shit going on with like why is it really as simple as like with voter ID laws? Mm-hmm. Talk about the state of affairs with voter ID laws. Is that differing from state to state? I'm lost there.
So every state gets to determine what it's going to do with its own election, which is a good thing in some ways and bad thing from like a national perspective when we're voting for president, because it's really annoying. But state by state, basically what you can do is you can create a standard for voting. And once you do that, you basically can control the rules of what it means to get to participate in voting. I know that there was an automatic voter registration bill that was going through in Nevada. I believe there's a state or two that's working on it. It might be Oregon. Oregon actually passed it, which means that you're automatically registered at 18 and you have to like go and deregister or something like that in order to stop being on the voter rolls or death certificate. And that means that like voter suppression works this way, which is basically, if you set a standard, right, that only some people can meet, even though everybody's an eligible voter, then you get to choose who filters through. And that's what they wanted. That's what voter suppression is about.
You can apply a drug test. How does the idea of needing an ID, talk about that filter as actual manifestation?
So the first thing is that they use the fact that only some forms of ID are legitimate ID. Your college ID is not a legitimate form of ID, even has your address on it. So that means college students now have to get a separate ID in the state with all their birth information, rather than just being able to use their student ID to vote. So you can register at school, at college, and vote. Actually, again, my bestie was in school in Philadelphia, and she voted out Rick Santorum, and that was like one of her great, like she's always like, I can die now, having done that. I voted out Rick Santorum. That feels so good. She didn't need to present like photo ID, she was able to go present the evidence that she lived in Philadelphia as her means of doing it. Right now, what happens is that with voter ID laws, basically what they do is they set a standard that you have to meet. So you have to bring your birth certificate or this. Like, how many people right now in this room can tell you, like, tell, say specifically where your birth certificate is right at this moment?
Not me.
Anybody? How many people?
17.
Okay, everybody who did not raise their hand, you can't vote.
Yeah, I mean, just adding any, it just occurred to me, adding any hoops,
yeah,
even if they're seemingly not, like, they're not like, hey, if you are a fan of the Patriots, you need to, it's like, the filter only needs to be a filter in order to slow down poor people,
yep,
young people, people that are working a lot. It's like any extra steps. The harder you make it to vote, the more. I think that's essentially. It occurs to me we're down a fucking branch that I took you down because okay, voting is a human right.
Yeah.
That's an argument that we're still having. Needlessly, yeah. The idea that voting is a human right. Forget about shelter, medicine, all these things. So, take us back to somewhere around the 1800s, and let's step forward where human rights is like this issue that starts fragmenting us into weird bedfellows.
I mean, it's always been fragmenting us. So let's start from the basic sentence, the basic concept, right? The idea of America is that it's not based off of where you came nationally. You know, that's always the dream. It's the mythology that we talk about on July 4th, is that we built a country on ideals, and you could come here and you could dream what you wanted to dream, you know, dream the impossible dream, all of that. I can't sing, so I'm not going to try it. But the point is that you can, there's this notion that we were built differently. And we had explicitly human rights as part of our declaration. You know, they talk about tyranny and bloodshed and controlling us, and we deserve the right. We are endowed by our creator, whoever that is. And, like, come on, they said it right up there. We're endowed with our creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these is the right, you know, all those happy rights that they talk about. And
that you come out of a womb, or even ostensibly that Constitution holds up to us being test tube babies. Sorry to cut you off, but I saw a sci-fi angle here. You're coming into this world one way or the other, but the Constitution is this document. Like, they sat down and they said, let's form this labor union of a country, this hotel lobby of a country that says, no matter what happens, no matter what anyone would try to use as an excuse... Yeah. That the idea is that everyone in this country, you as soon as you draw your first waking breath, you are actually, you have these rights. Yeah. They are not given to you. I know I sound like a sixth grade teacher, but I was just like, we have forgotten that in our bones, right? Like, and well early on. So continue.
Yeah. So except for slaves, like the rule was like
except
everybody.
For women. I mean,
everybody who's a white dude has inalienable rights, but I don't know about the rest of you. Like, maybe white women. I don't know. We're working it out.
Well, we're kind of masters of the unspoken exception. Like, we didn't. But if we had to write, it goes back to that thing of if you had to declare. Like, if you were passionate at the framing of the Constitution, you would have to write it in. And go like, look, black people. Let's write about them for a while.
Yeah.
And you'd have to do it, but you don't have to do that when you can just say all people are created equal, and I'll find out what I mean by that later. But for now, I mean Phil and his cousin Tony. Sorry. It's these negative spaces that we're now like coming to bear on, and that's why there's amendments, and that's really because we by the way, we fucking mean this. Go, please, yeah. Continue.
So then leaving people out of that discussion of human rights eventually fractured the country in two, because one group was like, nah, they definitely don't have human rights, and the other group was like, maybe they do. Just a little bit, just like maybe a handful of human rights are not like equal to us, but they seem to be human. I think actually, after quite a lot of time, they do appear to be human beings, so we might need to just accept them as part of the country. And they were like, whoa, you can't do that. And then they decide to murder each other over it for about 4 years. And the Republican Party's concept was like, we actually recognize that slavery is bad because it infringes upon human rights. And they held up that end of the bargain until basically shortly after 1964, Republicans held on pretty well. And the only thing that cracked the black vote away from them was the New Deal policies, because they were like, wow, you screwed up real bad. Like, we have no money. We might not be able to vote for you again, actually. This guy, my FDR, might have some solutions for us. And we're okay with splitting away from you. And you saw the black vote start to diverge and split into two pieces. But the reason it didn't go fully Democratic under FDR was because they had the Dixiecrat coalition, the same people at the founding who were like, no, we got to keep slaves. And the same people in 1865 who were like, no, we have to kill Lincoln and continue trying to impose slavery. And the people who terrorized black people in the years between of Jim Crow, those people were the same people who've been arguing this entire time, like, no, human rights are not actually fundamental to this republic. They're not. They're only for some people.
And we're seeing that play out now.
Yeah.
These words that up to 6 months ago are just grown-up words to me and continued about, I don't care about fucking Medicaid, healthcare, all this shit. These words, they're more boring than a Central American country's president's last name. I'm like, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Medicaid, Medicare, all this stuff. But it's like, then you peel back the layers and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, you just think that cancer is punishable by more death if you're poor than if you're rich, which is fucking insane if you wrote it in the crawl of a sci-fi movie and said the people are divided between people that think that if you have a random thing happen to you while you are on American soil, an American citizen, if you have sickness, which is just a part of life, we believe that then your life should just be shortened by your poverty. And no one is having that. I mean, now everyone's having that conversation, but we're still not just watching Paul Ryan struggle through that PowerPoint that he made with like crayons, where he's like, he thought he was going to blow our minds. I think because his mind had just recently been blown. He was like, let me break this down. Like, I don't know if you guys get it, but basically what people are suggesting is that look at all these sick people. Dude, you know what happens when you get sick? You can't make money. So they're like the poorest people in the world and the sickest. This is a problem that solves itself. And that's what he was yelling at us. And everyone was like, what the fuck don't you understand about every step of society that all of us have ever learned since our mommy sat us down and said, your roommate needs the rent check. I'll bail you out this time, but get your shit together or you have to move back home and I make fun of you. Like every college kid gets it. Everybody, but how do you, I don't know what my question is. But I just like, I mean, like, so where do you stand? This is an interesting segue into this. So I'm getting the impression then that you're probably not one to, where are you in all this, like, this treason Russia, like soap opera? I'm guessing your answer is to the extent that there's evidence and rule of law, let's proceed forward, but let's not let it distract us from the occasional law being pushed forward. Or
it's the most important thing that's ever happened in American democracy.
I knew it.
Because a hostile foreign actor totally went into our most sacred institution and fucked it all up. Is that, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Because, I mean, nothing where, like, if you want to talk, there's like the metaphor, right, of the body politic, and people use that all the time. Like, imagine voting as being your spine. Like, someone just went in and fucked with your spine. You wouldn't be like, we're cool. We'll just chill. Like, you'd be like, no, that really fucked up my whole life.
I think people are distracted. My perception is that people are distracted first and foremost by this victory parade they're having, which is not happy at all, which is called We Won, Get Over It, and that they perceive that they don't even get to start going down the block before people are, like, pouring weird. They think that people are cheating by going like Russia, 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 and I think that the biggest thing that they don't understand, the people that are still bothering to like go, where, come on, get over it, where's the evidence, I'm tired of hearing this, is that they think that at the end of this whole process Hillary Clinton gets to become president because they cheated. Like, you know, like they were going to find out that
she should.
Putin popped the hood on a voting machine and like put extra votes in there. No,
but here's the thing about that is that like if you were to cheat in like a local election and they found out, they would just nullify the election and your opponent would win. That's how it works. That's not, there's no like complicated thing there.
But it depends on your definition. But my impression is that what we're debating with them, because it seems like to the extent, maybe Spencer, you can jump in, or you have a beard. But it seems like we've long since kind of dropped, like, maybe we'll find out more, but right now we're sort of like not worried about the results of the election. We saw them. They bummed us out and were surprising, but at the same time, like, it's fine and is the result of this constant effort on the part of a foreign, hostile, former superpower, the most dangerous psychological post-internet fucking threat you could have. That what we've learned about Russia is that that's how they handle their satellite states. That's how they, like, they've just been, like, they have troll farms. All that shit is real. And that doesn't mean that if we prove collusion, someone else gets to be president, except for the fact that you can't be president from prison. I think the people that are still hanging on are really like even dumber than me about politics and are thinking, stop trying to act like this election's not going to stick. And I'm like, it's stuck. Now he goes to prison.
What happened? I mean, prison. That's really hard to do. Impeachment. Yeah, it's really hard. We've never put a president in prison. Another thing is that I like to think about this. Like, it's kind of scary. Don't freak out, everybody. But like, we're kind of in the place right now that we were before the Civil War, where like there's no real chance to like the only thing that fixed the Civil War was the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. Like, there was never any, like, hey, I don't know, can we just sit down and talk about whether or not it's okay to leave the United States over slavery? Can we just, sit down, have a conference, and we'll talk it out. Like, we need to build a process, and it's going to be, like, the craziest thing we've ever done, is to build a process to deal with the reality that an election was stolen at this level.
Yes.
And if we don't figure that process out, we
what
are
What did I say
gonna...
to you? During the opening monologue. I'm sorry. I like him. He's so passionate. Sorry. Why did I operate in tandem with this guy to
Caitlin,
derail you?
So like, where, like, you're a writer, you're a blogger, you're an activist. Like, how are you going to help save the world? Like, you got to help us. And like, what's the next steps that we have to do?
Because, by the way, in case you can't tell, my solution is fly her out, let her talk, and then I'll just worship her, vote for you, then my problems are solved. Can I get back to Mario Kart? That is what everyone's dealing with, is both inside them and with any people that they choose to talk to, is like, man, we all, like, it was working, like...
I wake up every day, I think like a lot of people do, with this kind of dopamine drip of, oh, we got him! Donald Trump Jr. is doing this thing, we did it. Like, they're all going to jail. They're not fucking going to jail. They're not going away.
It took 6 years for Nixon. He won 2 elections by a landslide, and then had to find his own shame at the end of that story. Still, and that cascaded from your grandma and uncle and people at Thanksgiving not having Facebook to bolster them every morning with more amphetaminic fucking rage. But in fact, they had to come around to. I think Nixon's a dick. I'm sick of it. Sorry I told you you're a lesbian.
Dan, that's a hard line to take. Nixon's a dick?
You know what? He's tricky, too. I wish there was shorthand of this, like, but honey, there's no Facebook yet. I've got 3 pigs to slaughter before lunch.
Like, I leave town every couple weeks, and I turn off the news, and I don't read a paper, and I come back assuming that Donald Trump has killed a kindergarten, because it seems like he will one day. And they're always in trouble. There's always some bullshit in the news cycle. And then nothing happens. And we all think it's going to be fixed, but it's not going to be fixed. Like, we actually have to, like, revolt at some point, don't we? Like, we have to
take it to the streets?
Well, so let's get back to this amendment. Let's make three new amendments. Do you think that
it's called a Doobie Amendment, called taking it to the streets?
Are you suggesting that maybe we take our lumps with Trump and let this cancer ride out, knowing that we are bombarding it with the chemo of fucking holy shit, what the fuck have we done? That's going to make us sick, bum us out. But that if that stops the cancer of fascism, that the thing we need to do is beat this metaphor dead, take on the dietary and environmental changes of. Are you talking about election protection amendments, like things that actually federalize and centralize the election process and make it hack-proof? Because I felt like the hacking was cultural in this case. It was like Russia taking advantage of the fact that we're all like...
Yeah.
So what were you? What do you think? What do we need to change? If you're not thinking about impeachment or arrest,
I'm definitely thinking about both impeachment and arrest. But we've never had a significant portion of our line of succession all removed simultaneously. And of course, let's be honest, if he stole an election, he's not legitimately president. If he stole an election, Mike Pence is not legitimately vice president. We don't have any idea what's going on with Paul Ryan, but I strongly believe that he probably had some idea since he used the hacked DCC emails against House candidates, which means that he either didn't know he was using stolen information from Russia, or he knew and just didn't care.
I think Paul Ryan stole our hearts.
A dreamboat.
He's dreamy.
So dreamy.
That lizard face. because that's what we're all thinking right now. Like we wake up that fucking meeting where, and somebody made the reference before I did. I thought I'd be the oldest person on Twitter and go, yeah, Serrano's got the discs, which is a reference to Midnight Run, in which the resolution is, all Robert De Niro has to do is to get crime boss Tony Serrano to accept discs that it's been established Serrano believes are fruit of the hacked election. If a Russian government lawyer, and it's amazing that they identify. Actually, it's not amazing that they identify themselves that way, right? Because the Russians probably are like going, when you're Russia, everything you do is a win, 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 win. There is not even one lose in there. There's no wrong move for Russia to make. They can just email you and go, hey, we've got naked pictures of Hillary Clinton. Hey, I've got naked pictures of your mother, too. I've got naked... They can just send out whatever they want. Any meeting you take, now they've got you for that. They can just... And then the further the relationship deepens, the more stoked they get. The longer they wait, the more they offer up. And you have to figure that combined with the collective IQ of the Trump team, who never thought they were going to win... Like, they've got to be in so fucking deep, it's insane.
Yeah.
So then, we all wake up realizing this. We're all starting to realize this, that this treasonous path probably very likely, Occam's razor says, these motherfuckers, before they knew it was even possible to commit treason, when all you want to do is just win the presidency, they committed treason so long ago, we're going to find it out. And then you just like, wait, what? We're all just sitting here going, then what do we do?
Yeah, there's actually no actual process for that or answer. I kind of wish I could give one. The answer, I think we talked backstage, it was about, know what you want to see, right? So what do we want to see? Imagine right now, like, the president of the United States has not been legitimately elected. None of his cabinet can take over for him. Not his vice president, either. We have no system whatsoever has ever had this happen. So what do we as citizens want to see? Because if you can't figure out that next step, which is like, do we rerun the election? We could. We have the money. It's not like we can't afford to run a second election. Then the problem is Republicans have to put somebody new up. Should we give them the opportunity? Should we just claim that it's illegitimate, have install Hillary? That's going to go well. People will be very calm. So the problem is that you need to know what you want to achieve first. And then the answer is to start working backwards. So what can we do as citizens to make it easier to understand what that result should look like? And I honestly believe that we should declare the election illegitimate and Hillary Clinton should be president of the United States. And I don't just say that because I really liked voting for her, but also because, I mean, in all honesty, that's what happens with virtually every other contest that we've ever run where we find somebody cheated. Right. We're like, every other time in all of the history of the world when we're like, hey, turns out you're a fucking cheater. You actually totally stole that thing. You don't get your medals. You don't get to win the game. You're erased from the history books. We remove things. Like, that's just how it's always gone. It happens in local elections.
When am I allowed to make fun of Barron?
Yeah, what year, what age does he have to be before we can go?
What's the statute on that one?
You are clearly...
Because I've got so many tweets just backlogged.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't... Talk about... like many of the things that I want to see are felonies to say out loud into a microphone. I've researched it. one of them may or may not be, like, I just can't, it was Barron's adulthood in general. Like I can't wait until he's walking around. I am endlessly entertained by Donald Trump Jr., I think because I just, like, his tweets, like, and with his avatar, with that hair and his face, like, I just regress to a time in every cell in my body when I was absolutely the underdog. I didn't know that I would find out 40 years later that, you know, that my view of things is limited to where I turn my head. But when I knew I had righteous anger, when I knew who the bad guys were and why I was a hero, that fucking kid, and I'm calling him a kid because his dad calls him a kid, which is part of the problem. He's my age. He is such a villain. He's always been a villain, and I love that he's entered the fucking forefront of everything. It makes me so happy. Now I'm rooting for evil to have happened. I'm rooting for him to disappoint his father. I want one of the two of them, mythically, this for federal officers listening. I want the whole thing to end in all of them in a Reservoir Dogs crossbow fight.
Crossbow,
where a Secret Service, like, commander, whatever their highest ranking official is, like, has been locked out of the room like a firewall, like in that Life movie with Jay Gills. They're on the space station and the octopus monster starts firewalls. They and they're like locked out of the Oval Office. They're like, we need to be in there. And then they come in and it's like people are talking about what happened with flowcharts for 6 years because all you see is just. They all did it to themselves. They're just like, there's just crossbow bolts everywhere and freedom. A vacuum of freedom. And then from then on, the Oval Office is like this weird place where, like, well, we couldn't tear it down. But here's where the tour gets even more interesting than it used to be. It was already the thing you were looking forward to. Now it's also got a lot of ghost stories.
I just think that we don't need them to have crossbows. We just need them to get, like, hemophilia, like the Romanovs. Like, they should all just die of some sort of weird inbred
disease. I don't
want to
wait that many generations. Like, Did you just fart, or was that your chair? Oh, okay. I thought it was like
Dan. When I fart, you'll fucking know it.
All right. That's what I thought was happening. I thought you farted, and I knew it.
The one who heard it.
Caitlin.
Turd it.
So what about you personally as a person? Because part of what's inspiring about you is you have that I don't want to be your Joan of Arc, stop treating me like something that's going to solve all your problems vibe, which makes me want to treat you like that. Just tell me what to do and tell me what to think and I'll vote for you. Do you have political aspirations? Do you want to?
No. No, I don't. You will never see my name on a ballot. Like, not ever. Not good. Not good over there.
So what is it? But does that to say that, like, there's sideways, like your Citizen Zero blog, like why be a politician if we are the people? Like,
yeah. Okay. Well, first things first is that I am not polite enough to be an elected. Like, I have a really high standard for elected officials, and especially when you grow up with them, you see, like, a lot of their foibles, but also a lot of I'm going to be really nice to my local politicians. A lot of kindness, a lot of patience. There are people who are going to ask you some of the stupidest shit you've ever heard in your life, and you're going to have to be like, yes, I understand your issue. It is really terrible that the lines are that particular shade of yellow in the two lines are. It's so tough. I understand. I will definitely take that up at the next council meeting. I will absolutely do it. They walk off, and you're like, what was that? You know, and you just do that to your local people, and you're just looking at them like your staff, and like, did that really just happen? Did someone just come to yell at me about the shade of yellow on our streets? Okay, cool. I just want to know that happened. And then you go back to doing like real hard work, and I don't have any patience for that. I would just be that person like, did you come to me with that? That's my time. I only have so much time alive, and you chose to spend 5 minutes talking to me about that. That's not okay.
And there are people that would enjoy that job and would feel overpaid in the standard salary. And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but like it seems to me that our class of politicians from top to bottom has become an inversion of that demographic. Like we all went to high school with people that we remember and go like, you know, that person should have been an alderman. That person should have been president. Like I because actually they would enjoy civil service. They would enjoy like the drudgery of it. They like to be fair. They don't blow their stack when they talk to idiots. And those people are 180 degrees, like on a different road. They're directed that way by, I don't want to say Hydra, but I don't want to get into a conspiracy theory, like a reptilian like alien that's taken over our Earth. But there's a problem there, and it all comes back to the individual's definition of what it means to be an American citizen,
yeah.
Which we have been, especially recently, but probably for my entire life, we feel like we got born here, and then there's this immigration thing and the whole like melting pot thing, and we learned that in high school and Schoolhouse Rock videos, and the idea of gaining citizenship and that meaning like you just have like a card that says you can participate, and but like what it actually means to be the citizen of a democratic republic, and so I don't want to put you on the spot as much as I want to gain some clarity in my life. What do I do differently? We have people up here, and I ask all the time. So what do I do? We've all heard you got to call your so and so. You got to do this and that. I don't. Yes, it should be work, and we should want to figure it out. But is there a way to like get a better map of it? Like, how much of my day is given over to being a citizen if I'm an active participant in that role?
First thing that I want to say is that I'm hoping to build a system. If you guys go to citizenzeroproject.org or .com, I own both. It's just good. It's good for brand. So if you go there, I actually have a project that I'm working on, which would be an online web portal. I really want to build this, where basically people could log in and find out like all the things that their elected officials have been doing, and you get updates like every week, every 2 weeks, or every month, depending on when you wanted to see it. And you'd be able to like build a report card so that it would like summarize a lot of the stuff that you do and don't agree with your elected officials about. And that way you wouldn't actually have to do all that legwork by yourself, because that sucks. Like, it really does, and I do it, and I spend way too much time doing it, and it's really exhausting. On the basic citizenship scale and, like, the national scale, I should say that you should probably be on top of at least, you should have, like, one issue you really care about, at least one. It doesn't have to be, like, very fancy or anything like that. You just be like, wow, those stagnant pools of water are totally going to attract mosquitoes. That's gross. If you're aware of something that like that in your neighborhood, I know it's really small and stupid, but, like, that's a thing. Be care about that thing.
But what if you want to be a nice person? So I have a stagnant pool of mosquitoes in my, I see it, it's 2 blocks away. Now, I'm going to definitely, the person in me that's both nice and that wants to just get back to Mario Kart, yeah. That's a dangerous combination of agreement, because both of them say, don't, because you're going to call a congressperson about stagnant pools of mosquitoes and you're going to be an idiot, and someone's going to answer that. You're going to feel dumb and disempowered all day. You're going to get on a phone tree and all this stuff. Like, there's a first step there that's like, I don't know who to call. An alderman, an ombudsman?
Comptroller.
That's why I said I don't want to put you on the spot, because I don't want to make I don't want to make humanity's tendency to be a robotic coward your fault and problem to solve. But the closer we could get to, like, actually, here's how you do a layup or whatever, so that if you want to expand on it and make your own style, that's great. But I'm only speaking for myself. That's how I feel about it, is being in gym class and the coach says, it's great, it's a layup. It's like the most common thing in basketball. You just do this and do that, and then you go like that. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Slow down. What foot goes where first? Put cutouts on the floor. If you really care about me, ever caring about this sport, you'll like come in my bedroom window the way video games do and say, just push this button. And like, I don't, do we say, stop catering to that and fuck you if you can't. Can't be a man.
I would say that the easiest thing to do is just find, as I said, find an issue. A lot of it's easy when it's like
stagnant
national.
Mosquito water.
Stagnant mosquito water, or you can choose something at a national level. Climate change is a big one.
Net neutrality. So I know I call my congressperson and I go, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm concerned about net neutrality.
Don't start with the call to your congressperson unless you know what you're going to say before you pick up the phone. In all honesty, that's why you feel disempowered all day, is because you started out and you're like, I feel really strongly. Right. And then you get on the phone with a representative, like a person, and they're like, so why? And you're like, because feelings. I have so many feelings.
Because I watched John Oliver last night.
Because I watched John Oliver.
Well, God for, I mean, if you watch John Oliver, then you kind of know what to say. What about the people? What about the people that don't, that feel like I, look, I'm doing this. Like, there's got to be people who are more scared than I am of getting on the phone and having, who answers and what do you, you say like know what you want, but you grew up around politics. Like, yeah. It's possible you see more of the fishbowl than I do.
I would start like much smaller, which is instead of trying to make the action go outside of yourself, just figure out like literally spend some time. I would say like an hour a week, maybe an hour or two. Just sitting around and being like, okay, what is about this issue? Like, who's talked about it? Who's an expert in this issue that I care about? You care about net neutrality? You should be reading up on as much stuff about where it comes from, what the term means. You should at least know the basics of that term. And it really just takes, like, that's just like an hour a week. That's just, and then when you're ready, you can take a whole month if you want to, a whole 4 hours. And then once you've looked at something for 4 hours, then you can say, like, do I want to call my congressman over this? Like, first of all, you'll learn just by checking up on that issue for 4 hours. Like, okay, this is who's responsible. Like, you'll learn, like, okay, we need to talk to federal people, because you'll see in their research, you'll be like, whoa, this is a federal issue. It's definitely not something for my state legislator. Then you might check on something like climate change and find out, well, we're in California. It's going to be your state.
All right, well, let's do an exercise. I'm going to be this, and the fun thing about this is you can't do wrong because I'm a manifestation of my own fear in this exercise. I'm the person on the other end of the phone. You be you. You're a citizen. You're activated about an issue. You don't even have to tell me what it is. I'm answering the phone at the House of Representative level for your district.
Cool.
All right. Are you going to make this ringing sound effect, or should I?
No, you should definitely do the ringing sound effect.
Okay. Okay. Good afternoon, Congressman Schmandemann's office.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm really interested in our roads and bridges.
Okay, do you have an appointment to speak?
An appointment to speak? I'm a citizen of the United States. I don't need an appointment to speak to my congressman.
Normal speaking hours are from 3 to 5 every Tuesday, except Wednesday, except every third of the fourth is Tuesday or Thursday. Sorry, February.
I would say that my First Amendment right is open anytime, 24/7.
Okay. Yeah, First Amendment meeting is... okay, bye. Thanks for calling.
Okay, cool.
So that doesn't happen, right? That's my fear. That is my first fear. This is a healthy exercise. Like, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
No.
Because it happens when I need my teeth fixed, and it happens, like... I don't know, or maybe it just only happens in my fucking head. Like when I need my driver's license renewed. But that okay, just that doesn't happen.
No, it does not happen. You don't need to worry about your congressman's office blowing you off, because that's in general, when they are discourteous on the phone, they find out that that person was actually really important, and now they've got right. like a donor who's going to be like, hey, I am my sister called up and you treated her horribly,
right.
and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just lost $1 million. Thank you.
Right.
That's what happens actually in
now,
their
Kayla,
life.
Now, Kayla, can you guys reverse roles, and Dan, you call her up and
oh
and,
yeah,
and,
well you show us, yeah. show, take okay. us at least that far, and then we can move forward from there. So okay, I'll cool. do what you did.
Okay.
I think I, but I'll probably offend you by trying.
Okay, so do I get a cool?
Yeah, that means
sound
you have to
now.
Do the ring sound.
Okay.
But you get sound. You get yeah.
Okay. Ring.
Oh, wait, I should already be on the phone. Okay.
Right? Hey, you called her.
Yeah. Hi, this is the Congressman blah, blah, blah's office. How can I help you?
Yes, I'm very concerned. Fuck, hold on a second.
Oh,
I forgot what I was concerned about.
You're not concerned
I forgot
about
what you were
anything?
Concerned about. Were you concerned about net neutrality?
I was concerned about roads and bridges.
Oh, roads and bridges. Okay, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I forgot. Hi, this is... Hi, I'm concerned about roads and bridges.
Okay, that's great. What specific road or bridge were you worried about? I mean, we take care of federal bridges and stuff.
Well, I... Wait.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is... All I know is that I drive over the 3rd Street Bridge every day, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. I've been taking that route for 30 years, and I keep reading these things in the paper about, you know, funding and stuff, and I just feel like there's so many potholes, and it feels like the bridge. I just, like, and I see other things about infrastructure in other parts of the country. I don't want to be one of those cities where... people don't say, hey, I want my bridge traversable. So I called.
Yeah, we don't want a situation like Minnesota, because we're so much better than that.
Yeah,
okay.
Fuck this fucking pieces of shit.
So let me take
that. I can't believe you knew, you just could tell from my voice that I would bite on the anti-Minnesotan.
Yeah, I totally did. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take down your concern. I'm going to route it to the appropriate offices. I'm going to talk to our legislative aide on infrastructure.
Okay, but is this like the runaround? What are you doing to me here? I don't know what this is. Me? Can I call back later? And every time I have a bridge concern, if I call back every day.
Time.
Like, so are you? Do I have to change my voice to be taken seriously, or and if I continue to be concerned about the bridge every time you answer the phone, will you eventually file a restraining order against me?
I don't believe that members of Congress can file restraining orders against.
Are you a member of Congress?
Well, not me specifically. Are you going to call me every day?
Aren't you going to be working there for a while?
I mean, like, we rotate. Like, it's not just me on the phone.
What's your name?
I mean, if you want to hang out with me, specifically.
Well, sorry, what's your name?
Sandy.
Sandy, I'm Dan. I'm Caitlin. Sorry, no. I live in Brooklyn by the 3rd Street Bridge.
Okay, cool.
I don't have to tell you that.
No, that's really great. So I do have to take down the concern, because it's a big one. It's a big thing to get going.
It's
so
a big bridge.
I can't just do it by myself.
Okay.
And I'm not giving you a runaround.
Okay.
I want to make sure that the concern is noticed, logged, and we know when it came in, and then we can talk about, because we're having a meeting next week about the bridge.
Oh, you're having a meeting?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a town meeting.
Shit, Martha!
About the bridge.
Yeah.
Where's the notepad?
Dan, are you pretending to be Caitlin again and bothering your congressman?
I gotta write down a meeting. I pay your rent. Get me a notepad. Motherfucker. So there's a meeting. I like to.
I want a divorce.
Excuse me for a second. Phone down, but then you just hear fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Fucked up shit. I'm not going to do it because it'll be trivializing, but I'm just saying, like, as a writer, I'm saying, like, you hear fucked up shit. Like, you hear, like, the dog's barking, and then you hear, like, somebody, like, whimpering, and, like, they're...
And they're, like, thugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, tell me more about this meeting. I want to be involved in democracy. Where am I going? Why am I doing that?
I mean...
I'm gonna hang up and become myself again. This isn't fair.
Somebody
to anyone.
Call the police.
No,
shut up. Call the police.
Shut up.
Call 911.
You
somebody.
Get in the food hut. Whatever that means.
Oh my God, my face. What happened to my face?
It's the you get in the food hut. It's the title of the indie movie that will be made about your experience if you're lucky. Click. Okay. That's what they like that. They like human tragedy.
Thank you for that nice applause for domestic abuse. That was very nice.
Well,
of
that's
all
the
of
part
you.
I didn't want to make a cartoon about. Yeah, but I thought like if it was like a Rear Window thing where you're like, oh my God, there's a murder. All right, but anyways. So
and then as like a sad legislative aide, I have to like try to figure out what the hell happened. It'd be good.
But
be
can
good.
I suffice it to say. If you do, and there's a million apps, and it's a Google away, like this idea of calling your congressperson, there's pretty much no chance of having the experience that you have if you were to call Fry's Electronics or the DMV or your own dentist. The people on the other end of the phone are they're passionate about politics. Their job is to pick up that phone. Yeah. You're going to get through it. It's okay to maybe even kind of only like maybe be figuring out what the fuck your problem is. Like a little bit, right? You'd recommend not doing that, not using it as a therapy session. But at the same time, I think the thing that keeps me in line is this fear of I'm just going to feel stupid.
I mean, again, I think, well, first of all, you got to get through to the line, because a lot of the times, like, especially on a big legislative vote, they're getting calls from like a billion calls at once. So like the line might get jammed, in which case then you can just quietly experience existential fear,
right,
while you're on the hold line.
But that's kind of comforting though, if something happens that you're watching CNN and your internet thing and you're like, I'm alarmed about this, and you pick up the phone and it's busy.
Yeah.
You kind of draw comfort from that, right? Like when there's a blackout or like the internet's out and like you call Time Warner and it's like, your call will be answered in 17,000 hours. And then there's like an added in there. If you're calling about the fucking internet outage, we're dealing with it. That would be nice.
I mean, that is totally comforting, because it does mean that a lot of other people have the exact same idea that you did. When that's always nice to know that, I mean, I think one of the reasons politics is so hard is because we all feel like a little bit like an island. And you're like, oh, I'm having all these thoughts, or I'm having feelings about politics, and I want to get involved. And it's like, it feels like it's super intimidating. Like, it's so hard to do that first thing. And you don't want to go to the meeting, and you're afraid that you'll be stupid. And like, the truth is that we're all stupid. I'm stupid, like, I got called an activist. I'm not. I'm like crazy lazy. It's unbelievable how lazy I am. I just sit around and I write things and I have ideas. But I haven't been to like one of a political club meeting now in like a year, because I'm like the laziest person. And that was during the campaign, and I did some phone banking, but I did it like the laziest way possible from my cell phone using the site, because like Hillary created a site and that you could just randomly phone call people from like all these different calls. I was like, this is perfect for me. I'm the laziest person in the world. I worked the floor below her campaign office.
I literally landed.
And I literally did not go inside of it.
So you're saying if you'd worked a little harder, Hillary would be in office, right?
Yeah,
now.
No. It's my fault.
We landed at LAX in the middle of the LAX, like when the travel ban went up, and we like landed there, came out of first class. We had our luggage. Jeff had his suit over his shoulder, and we were like, oh, looks like a protest. And we like we hung out there, and then for the next 3 weeks, I would just shut up about our responsibilities. And and then I bought a gun because I was just like, everything's changing. I want to shoot it for changing. what time is it?
We should probably thank Caitlin for coming up here. We have to, more important business to do right now.
You know what? I think they were being very classy and like didn't want to shout 9/11 like they always do at 9/11. That's very nice.
I think
we're
live in a world.
We're very disappointed in the audience.
We live in a world. Caitlin, you think you're lazy for not making phone calls more for these people didn't shout out 9/11 when it was 9/11.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I want to make sure there's an action item or something just for people who are more interested, still have more questions, all that stuff. Obviously, we've said your Twitter name, which is Gotham Girl Blue.
Yeah.
And Citizen Zero Project. Is that the Twitter handle or?
That's not my Twitter handle. That is the site. I literally just upgraded it with all the stuff that the nonprofit that I'm working on is going to do. I can't take donations yet. I'm hoping to do so as of August 1st. But there are literal projects that I'm working on. Whether or not that's creating discussion groups and training other people to lead them, whether that is creating the online portal and the app so that way you can do more passive citizenship and you don't have to actually collect all that news by yourself because that sucks, or whether or not it's creating a K-8 curriculum because I'm working on getting kids to understand that they're citizens so that way you build the habits early and then you don't have to worry about doing it as an adult because you've already been doing it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, well.
Let's cheer for Caitlin Bird, everybody.
Look her up, and she'll be back, and we'll continue to maybe how we can help you in Los Angeles. We'll be like sister cities.
Aw, sister cities.
Figuring that out. All right, thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you, Caitlin.
The rest of the show will make no sense to you, but but you can go watch it with Ronald. unless you've been listening. All right, so let's bring up Steve Levy.
Steve Levy to the stage. Levy in the house? Did Steve leave us? Steve Levy. Oh.
Steve Levy
is upstairs doing lines off another guy's wiener.
Don't you leave me.
Steve Levy, everybody.
Steve Levy.
Hey, everybody. Sorry, Church was telling me a fascinating story.
Steve Levy.
Say what?
No, Church was telling me a fascinating story backstage, and I...
About what?
Just personal stuff.
In a more primitive society, that would be... A huge like you came on stage and said like, yeah, your girlfriend was off stage telling me some shit I can't talk about.
Well, I don't want to.
You don't want to cause no trouble.
This is not a forum to disclose anyone's stories. Sorry. Don't necessarily. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
What's going on?
I mean, we can't tell you.
All right.
I got a little educated. I think the most important thing I learned is that it is that membrane. Like, I'm bad on the phone, man. Like, I tell people to call their congresspeople at the drop of a fucking hat, and I stand before you naked and trembling at the prospect of
picking up
the phone.
We've been on a lot of phone calls together, and I gotta say, some of them, you're really great. Others, not so great.
What is the difference, do you think?
How much attention you're paying and how much you actually care about what we're talking about, maybe?
Right, so a bad phone call would be one in which, everybody wants something from me and I don't know why I'm on the call.
I don't know. Sometimes you turn those around and it's like you're a hero. But I can't...
I want to make you name examples so bad. But it'll only hurt me. And you just have this luxury. You're like Varys in Game of Thrones.
I don't know who that is.
Look it up.
Yeah, all right.
I don't
watch Game of Thrones. You guys don't boo me. It's cool.
So for those of you just joining us tonight, we now play a game called Pathfinder, which is kind of like Dungeons & Dragons. Whoa, laptop.
Hey, guys. I'm just checking Reddit.
Hey, did you... Did you have any thoughts about I haven't checked in with you politically. I mean, I know you and I both feel like the world's probably ending.
Oh yeah.
You're still getting your ham radio license so that we can.
Oh man, it's going great. It seems like it's really hard though. I could see why they don't want everyone just doing it willy-nilly.
I saw on a Friday something about a ham radio. Is that?
Whoa.
Are you building a radio on a Friday?
I'm building a radio on Friday.
All right.
And it's going to be the biggest radio ever seen on the West Coast.
Is your new hobby lying?
I'm working on my improv. I yes-anded it. I did this podcast. I did this podcast.
It's called a UCB radio.
I did this podcast on Saturday, and I really just feel like I shit the bed, and so like I just want to die. It's just, oh man, I'm feeling the worst.
Really?
Yeah, and everyone should download it and not listen it, so everyone thinks, oh wow, it really performed really well. But then don't listen to it, because otherwise you won't even be able to be honest about, you know,
what did you think you did? What are you most embarrassed about?
I feel like I'm mechanically bad at talking. Like, if there were a race of talking, I would lose. Like, I would be like a fat person at talking. Like you talk a lot, you know?
I do, but
so
I don't,
as a result,
are you calling him fat?
No. He's calling
me Usain Bolt.
He's the marathon man of talking.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours. It's like you've had a lot of practice at talking, but I feel like I probably just don't talk very much and I'm bad at it as a result.
Well, I don't perceive it that way.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, what? Thank you so much.
Say what, madam? What was that?
Oh. Thank you. That's so nice.
It's definitely a soothing voice. Like, that's just...
But I don't know. Just couldn't make sentences. It was just bad. It was bad news. I don't even want to talk.
Well, Spencer, you have a chance for redemption right now, because now's your chance to talk as you recap our last episode of Pathfinder D&D.
That's... Okay. I wanted to help him with his anxieties before... We could have just teed up the worst D&D ever, because he's like, yeah, I feel like I'm bad at talking. I fall asleep to you talking. I see you're good at talking. Yeah, maybe. Well, let's do D&D. You're in a forest. Fuck. You come upon me and a rope. I'm in the middle of something. I don't know. I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm just saying, like, I was worried acupuncture pin.
I'm fine.
Do you think acupuncturists have, when they say put a pin in it, they do you think they get confused? I could do stand-up. That's a stand-up bit.
No, that's one
do
joke.
Do you think acupuncturists get confused? Like, why do you mean, what do you, why do no, people keep wait. Talking about putting a pin in it? That means deal with it right now.
When you tell them to put a pin in, they're always finishing the task right there.
Like an acupuncturist
comes
to your book club and goes like, well, I think we should have a policy for which books we choose. Well, let's put a pin in that. I'm trying to.
Putting a pin right now.
Where was this at the top
of
the show?
You're only 4.5 minutes away from a set. You got that one
in,
joke.
In 92. All right. Anyway, sorry. I got excited about that. But I want to put an acupuncture pin in your...
tits.
And now we don't want to deal with it now.
He wants to put a pin in your tits.
I mean, who doesn't these days? Well, it's fine. I just wanted to express that because, you know, it might come out on the internet sometimes that I was on a podcast. And I don't want anyone to listen to it, but I do want them to download it.
What I admire about you, and I think a lot of our audience would agree with me, is that when you talk, you call your shots, and it's usually very accurate.
Like, I was bad. I agree with that in a general sense on my best times, but right. I was just off my game. It's like, you know, it's just sometimes you have a bad day.
Yeah,
you know, it was just bad. But now I'm just sitting in it. I'm like, man, really just fucked up.
I went on Kumail and Emily's podcast once, and I was so fucking happy because all they wanted to do was talk about video games, because that's what the whole podcast was about.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
so excited just to talk about video games. I walked out of there so happy, and then like I read 2 tweets.
Right.
Like, no one's going to like tweet and go like, that was fine, that was fine. Like, it was the 2 guys that were like, don't let Harmon explain computer science ever again. He doesn't get it. That's not what's like. He tried like I'm always like wrong about shit. I feel awful. I want to go into a cave and like eat my own leg.
Yeah.
It's not.
Eating doesn't solve all your problems.
But unless you eat your own body, then it solves itself.
It solves.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's kind of like weight loss.
If you could turn your own body into poop, you'd lose weight.
You could poop your own leg.
You'd eat your own leg.
If you poop
and then
your
poop
own
it,
leg, you're like, wow, I weigh 15 pounds less than I did before I ate my leg.
But a smart person would say, yes, but you just cut your ability to exercise in half. And you're going to regret that.
You're going to be sitting there and you're going to be eating. You're not going to be able to eat much anymore and you're going to slowly die. So what I'm saying to you is, I get it. Just keep hanging out with me and you'll always look better.
Yeah. Last time on Harmon Time. What happened? You guys had just finished the fight, and you beat the ghost. No, you beat the demon, freeing the ghost, and it took you to the graveyard. You discovered that in place of Archer Fell's corpse was the corpse of a rotting dog. It was fucked up. And then you left. You went to Dairy Hill and met with Rhonda, who took you to meet the other farmer, Manil, because it seemed that the farmers were dealing with some ripped, murdered cows. And Manil was being weird for a while, but Diarrhea Jr. unleashed the snacks, and it seemed to be winning him over, and that's where we left it. In Manil's farmhouse. Yeah. See, yeah. Even that terrible showing was much better than anything I did.
That might have been largely our fault.
No, I'm saying that if you called that good, what I did on that podcast was bad.
All you're making me do is want to listen to this podcast more than I would have already.
Right. Well, do that.
This sounds like you're just pumping up the show. Like you're trying to like.
I just want people to go. Well, at least he knew.
It's a good point. I mean, that's what propels me. Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, at least he knew.
At least he knew.
You can't shoot me through a hole I self-inflicted.
Right.
You missed again. They never get it. Right. They're like, bang, bang, bang. They're like, what's that hole? I'll shoot at it. You're like, that hurts too. Shot myself there an hour ago, you fucking plebe.
On the sheet.
I don't know. I do that with menus,
I know,
too.
I
Cody
like it,
busted
though.
Me today. I had already I ordered, fun. And I was just like, and she's like, there, you ordered. Put the menu down. Like, I'm uncomfortable in life.
You know what, DJ? You're all right. And he starts taking the snacks out of your hands.
Are you enjoying those snacks, Donovan?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're a lot cooler than that guy, Fell.
Yeah, that Tom, he's a real piece of shit. You know, his cows, they suck. All he did, you know, he's a bad farmer. All the farm crops he was doing, he was just trying to feed his cows with them. He put all your eggs in one basket. That's how it happens.
I'll go one step further. I'd say he's a bad father. He let his son get killed.
One step further. I'll say I wish that someone would go to his house, light his house on fire, maybe put it out,
well,
beat him up, maybe throw a rock at his wife, punch his
Donovan,
kid.
Donovan, we're one step ahead of you as always.
What are you talking about?
Not only did we go to his house once, we fucked his house up twice.
Oh, Jesus.
Go knock on his front door. You can't. It's on fire in his front room right now.
This is what democracy looks like. You have a vision of what the world should look like when you're living in it. We already did it. We're good representatives of your church.
Right.
So why don't you reward us with some good old-fashioned information?
Okay.
Let's get down to business and hang out. Talk about what a piece of shit Tom Fell is and what's been going on in this town.
We're trying to find out why the evil is coming to town. Like, who is to blame? Where can we track down the evil like as it's happening?
I don't know, man. I'm sitting on a couple of cow corpses if you want to check them out.
Yeah, well, thank
Let's
you.
Let's go
They'd
do
like
that
to
right
check
now.
Those out. That's what
Let's
we
go,
asked like, in the first
place. You're full of snacks. Let's go out there and check out these cow corpses.
All right. He turns around and he pulls a sheet off of two cow corpses in his main room.
He's been standing in a... We've been standing in a room with cow corpses.
Yeah, it looked like just furniture or something at first.
How long have they been dead for?
This one's been dead for 3 days. This one's been dead for a week.
I do the dust check on the cow corpse. I do a little wipe. Yeah, the dust check.
Now, they had a sheet over them, so they're not dusty.
I'm sorry. What was your name again?
Manil. Donovan Manil.
Donovan, I'm not judging you. It's an objective truth that you downplayed the cattle mutilation when we came to see you.
Well, you know...
Did you drag the corpses in here, or were they murdered in this room?
Well, Rhonda helped me, but no, they weren't murdered in this room.
I would have seen who done it. No, I'm just, you know, I'm fired up about that son of a bitch Tom, and that's what you came in talking about, you know. Yeah. It's just,
it's how we got into your good graces. But initially there was like a kind of a force field around the topic of cattle mutilation.
Yeah, it was because I was so angry.
Do you think Tom Fell murdered your cows?
I don't know. You'd have to be some sort of monster to be able to pull that out. All off, right. Not out.
Do you mind if my team and I, who are clerical professionals from a church, which at this time in this class of society is also the equivalent of being doctors, could we check out your mutilated cows?
He puts the sheet back over the cows and then he pulls the sheet off again.
What? Are you being a little cutesy?
Or no,
you?
I'm just trying to reiterate.
You're saying that when you pull a sheet off a cow, the invitation to explore is implicit.
Yeah.
And that I'm a fool for asking permission.
Well, you know, I was just fun with you. I wasn't doing that other thing.
Yeah. Well, now, when I fuck with you, don't complain. Sorry, I've been drinking.
I'm assuming my spell of handle animal won't work on dead cows, probably, right?
No. All right. Well, no.
Diarrhea. Examine the cows. Get in there.
Okay. I use my knowledge of nature on the cows to see.
What's your bonus there?
9.
All right. This cow's still alive.
Oh, I use handle animal and I try to convene with the animal to communicate with this animal and find out what happened.
It won't move.
I have this. Stabilize. Load out. Load out one, general. Stabilize. I have a spell. Cause a dying creature to stabilize.
Don't panic. The key is to not panic.
You cast it and it doesn't affect it, almost as if it's dead and not alive.
What? You said it was alive.
Oh, yeah.
Is it my turn? It's not my turn anymore, is it?
Yeah, I'll just... Yeah, Jeff rolled a 1.
Oh, shit. Zombie guy.
I use heal on the animal.
All right. It doesn't work.
Shit.
Zombie.
I check for dust on the animal.
It's not dusty.
Zombie. Does a cow...
It's a coping mechanism. When I fuck up, I pretend like I know what I'm doing, and I do...
Zombie.
I also sharpen a pencil. I do things that make it look like I know.
Does the cow have open wounds?
Yeah, the cow looks like it has these big like slash marks, you know, like from a big creature.
Can I
like claw marks?
Can I use my magnifying lens to look closer at the wounds?
Yeah,
it's a zombie cow. It's an undead cow.
You see that the cow's clearly dead.
But alive.
But not alive.
Was it like...
Wait a minute.
You said it was alive. Kind of alive.
Yeah, I did say that.
So undead.
Well, can when I Jeff looked at it, he thought it was alive.
Oh, his...
Because
he rolled that low.
Yeah.
Oh. So I'm just an idiot.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to handle.
I rolled so low, I thought a dead thing was alive.
Oh, man. And he's the smartest of all three of us. Okay.
Why don't we just open up a restaurant? Stop being fucking church people.
Can I determine whether it's like claws or a weapon?
They look like big, kind of big claws, big five clawed claws, you know, like a claw.
Oh, it looks like a monster of some kind murdered these cows.
Monster of some kind. Never studied. Knowledge.
you can't just say the word knowledge. you have to speak in complete
knowledge.
Sentences.
Knowledge arcana, knowledge history, knowledge nobility, in case the werewolf that attacked this cow is a duke. Knowledge planes, because it's happening on a plane. Knowledge religion. I mean, I'm running through the gambit. Well, I have really nothing in all of them. They're just checked off because I'm a cleric.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't have any of those?
Well, it doesn't... I mean, I have them all checked off.
Yeah.
Knowledge religion is 2.
Okay. Well, we could try that one.
Yeah.
You're going to find out if this cow was religious? This cow was Mormon. That's fantastic.
It just seems like some sort of otherworldly creature. You know, you can't really see what, you don't know what it is, like whether it's like a werewolf or like a demon or whatever. You don't know what it is, but it's definitely some sort of big monster rather than like a natural beast.
But it looks like the same monster killed both of these cows.
Yeah, yeah, it's consistent. Mm.
And one was 7 days ago and one was 3 days ago.
Right.
Looks like there's a monster roaming the land.
Well, look. If I'm doing the math right, seven to, you know, three, maybe it's every 4 days, and because this was 3 days ago, in the next day, maybe another cow will be murdered.
How often, Farmer
Menil,
does this take place? Every 4 days, about?
Well, it's been speeding up. It was happening like once every month or so, but then, you know, these past two have been like once every 2 weeks, and then more than once a week, and
so the
now
creature
we're out of
is
cows.
Gaining strength and confidence.
What if I pull Diarrhea and Carlos aside, what if we dress up like these dead cows and go out in the field and
do a stakeout?
How long has it been since the last cow got mutilated?
3 days.
What was that, 3 days? No, yeah. 4 days. Was it 3 days?
The iron is so hot right now, it's insane.
Do you have live cows still?
No, there's no more cows.
There's no more cows?
No, they all got killed.
There's just two here?
Yeah, we're a small town. There was only about 10 cows at the beginning of
it. Well, what if we gut one of these cows and then we wear it and pretend that we're a cow in the field?
Do we have your permission to use your otherwise wasted cows as costumes?
I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to buy them off me because, like, you know, I can still use this meat.
Make a deal.
Wait. One more question. Did Tom Fell have any of his cows murdered?
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, many. We should go over there, actually.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's got the most mutilated cows in town.
Look, there's
a bargain at twice the price.
Yeah, I mean, he's giving his cows away.
He doesn't deserve any money.
You know how Tom Fell works.
No, we wouldn't pay. Look, there's some options we have, right? We could steal a cow from Tom and bring it back here, or we could pay him for a live cow and bring it back here.
The bottom line is hoping to solve the problem that keeps killing everyone's cows.
Right.
Might give a no-bid contract to Tom Fell.
Yeah. Is it true that you and Tom Fell have been price fixing your cow meat? Cause you're the only two ranches in town.
No.
Okay.
We'll give you one gold piece for each of these cows.
No. Wait.
One bronze.
Piece. Let okay. This good Church of the Silver Flame. Do some, you know, let me do some negotiation.
Here. Okay, all right, okay. This feels like a stereotype, but.
I'm going to.
Talk.
I'll lean into it.
Okay.
Do you have any, what other problems do you have around the house? I mean, look, we're knowledgeable, and we can barter, we could fix some stuff for the cows.
Yeah, fix the cows.
No, that's not fixable, is it?
I don't know.
Are you just get the best price for the cows?
All right.
We want to take the cows.
They're dead corpses. What are you asking? How many?
That's what happens at the end of a cow. You get a dead cow and then you sell pieces of it for money. It's part of being a farmer.
I conjure a flame in my hand and just hold the flame threateningly. I'm like, what?
Oh. All right. Do you have a charisma or an intimidate?
You better believe it. I'm 13 charisma and intimidate. Yeah, fuck yeah. Intimidate. Nope. But 13 charisma with a flame in my hand. I mean, look, I'm a gnome. I know I'm short, but a dude holding a fireball in his hand.
That's scary.
It's like, oh, fuck it. I'll cook these cows right now.
He's like, whoa, man, I don't want any trouble. I mean,
We're trying to save your village. We're trying to save you guys from evil.
Tell you what.
I'm trying to make a living.
Here's what I'm going to let you do. Limited time offer. You finish removing all the meat and usable things from the cow. And just give us the cow skins, the hides, after you're done.
All right, well, that's a lot cheaper.
But you got to do it
You know,
fast.
Leather.
It's a rush order.
No, not leather. Like, we want to look like cows. Yeah, you know our plan.
We're going to go out and do, like, a great pumpkin kind of thing. Yeah, we're going to go out there and fucking dress up like cows.
And there's only two here, right? So we got to go. Right. We got to go over to Tom. If we find out that he moves faster than you, we're going to start taking work away from you.
Wait, run that by me again.
You're a freelance contractor. Like, our agreement with you is that to the extent that we continue to need cowhide to look like cows in a costume we're designing.
Bottom is, we either help you or we help Tom Fell.
Fuck it, boys. This guy doesn't want to give us three cows' hides that look like cows. Let's get out of here. There's only two.
Yeah, we're
going to go help Tom.
Let's go to Tom Fell's.
Yeah, Tom Fell. He loves us. We've only ever gone into his place and destroyed his home and punched his child.
Tom Fell's dead cow prices are crazy because his son is possessed by a ghost. That's what I heard.
They're possessing me, Larry.
Right?
What's happening then?
We're walking out the door.
All right, great.
You're losing our business to Tom Fell.
Well, you guys haven't offered me any price. There's no business that I'm being lost.
Okay, what fucking goddamn it. God damn it. One gold piece per cow.
Guys, or not. I mean, either way, anything.
I'll give you two gold pieces per cow.
What the fuck? He just... What?
You upped the...
I'll keep the receipts. We go back to the church. I'll get reimbursed for this. I'll be down to two gold pieces after this. How about two gold per dead cow?
All right, let's do it.
All right, now make them everything but the cow outside.
Okay.
Dress Carlos and Chad and the cow. Make them look like cows.
That'll take me 2 hours.
Let's just go hang out with your
wife. Well, how about this? I use my conjured, the flame I produced, and I cook up some of that meat he's butchered, and I make us a little barbecue.
Hmm. All right, you do that.
All right.
Remember how we were starving because we haven't eaten all day?
Sure.
Yeah, so now you got some ribs.
This is good. It makes up for you doubling the price.
We to go back to Tom Fell's house.
I wasn't going to go back there.
God damn. Are they dressed like cows eating hamburgers?
No, no.
No, we're waiting the 2 hours.
All right. Costumes, they're done.
Okay.
So now,
who gets to wear the costumes?
How many are there?
There's two.
There's two cow-sized costumes.
Okay. I want to be in one.
I mean, I'm too small to be. I'm a gnome, so I'm too small. So you guys.
Well,
should both
which
be...
of you two has the best like ranged attack?
I have 110 foot range with my bow.
Are you good with a bow?
Yeah, I mean,
because obviously you see where I'm going here. It's like a.
I have a range of. I mean, you guys are big enough to look like cows. I'm a gnome. I won't look like
noted.
A full cow.
I think that what should happen is, look, I'll do the cow. I'll look like a cow with you. But if this creature comes, when it comes, Jeff should light a ring of fire and entrap it in our little ring so we could square off with it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've also got a ranged bow of 100 feet with piercing. And I can shoot fireballs. I can light this monster up with fire.
Great. So you're gonna stay back and watch over the perimeter.
I'm gonna hide gnome-like in a haystack nearby. You guys are gonna look like just two regular workaday cows.
Okay.
Minding their biz. Maybe they look a little worse for wear.
I don't think this thing's picky, whatever it is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to see two cows moving about and go, oh, easy pickings.
What time is it in the day?
Well, it's been 2 hours, so it's like 1 p.m.
Okay. All right. All right, well, why don't we...
We're well fed. You guys go get put your cow costume on. Let's work on your cow movements.
Yeah, let's practice the. Yeah, we should have a training montage where we learn to act like cows.
What time?
It's in the way that you moose it.
Does this thing come at night?
Moose it.
What?
Does the creature come at night?
Yeah, the attacks have happened at night.
Right, I mean, cool. I could have answered that. All right, let's go. Let's go learn to move like cows somewhere in the backyard.
Okay.
Does it feel like it's working? Who's watching?
I'm watching. You guys, more bovine.
Do they move one back foot and one front foot at the same time? Is it like...
All yeah, the, I think it's contrapedal. I think they go like, yeah, I think exactly. Like one forward on the front, one forward on the back, other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, that's the I think that was these. The whole point of yeah.
All right.
Biology. But also, you guys are hieroglyphics.
You guys are moving too much. Cows don't really move around all that much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like want to look like while I'm standing still.
Look like prey. Look like easy food.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Am I doing now, it? I can't tell.
I lay down like a naked farmer so you guys can suck my dick and kiss me on the face.
That's a callback to another episode. Thanks for coming out tonight. If it's your first time here. I'm just walking around. I just want to know from a distance, do I look like a cow?
You guys are looking pretty good. Yeah, I'm convinced. If I were a cow-eating monster, I would be all over you guys with five-finger claws.
I'm making my tail move. I think that's convincing.
Right. You guys feel like you're doing a pretty good job.
All right.
All right, so that took like an hour.
Oh, yeah. Now it's 2 p.m.
Okay, so now it's time to lay low. We're well-fed. We're well-trained. Now it's a waiting game. for the monster to attack, make sure that beneath your cowhide uniforms that you guys have your weapons ready to rock.
All right, let's just take a quick inventory. Are we doing everything right? Like, just in a larger sense, like when we came to this town.
I don't see how this plan could possibly fail.
I just want to ask, like, are we focused on the right priorities? Because we did get sidetracked by what could be called like a distraction. Like, I don't know.
It's okay,
while Carlos is saying all this, I'm getting really method in eating the grass.
Okay.
I'm making a ring of like an open, like kind of open-ended ring of hay that I can light on fire. That maybe we can lure the monster into that, and then you guys could jump over. I don't know. Maybe like we could just trap it in a hay fire, and yeah. I can cast a firebolt and
I like that. Don't eat the ring of hay. He's putting that out there for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got to the town, and we stopped off, and we harassed a local, and then we went to the church, and then the church we had an uncomfortable conversation with. We couldn't figure out what was going on with them, so we went back to the first people and just we expelled a ghost. The ghost led us to the cemetery. The cemetery led us to a dog.
A dog in the place of their dead daughter.
We talked to a farmer that was just standing there.
Right, right.
That's where this breaks down. Like we're breaking off from the A story.
We talked to the watch lady Rhonda, who led us to the other farmer, who sold us his cow hides.
But in a six-person town, I would say something that's killing two of the people's cows.
Yeah, we discovered there's
like
a creature
a big thing.
Out there.
If we
yeah.
can figure this out, if we can solve this,
yeah,
we're
going to
be cock of the walk.
We're big shit.
Who knows where this is going to take us?
And then we're going to parlay that into political and spiritual leverage that we use to start turning this town around.
I sit down. I go, let's wait it out, and I go into a druidic meditation to conjure up powerful spells.
Okay, you go into it.
I want to do an offensive loadout of spells if we're going to actually chill.
Yeah, there's enough time to change
okay.
up your spells.
So I'm doing loadout 3, which is your offensive loadout. It has for the kids out there. It includes the spells guidance, which is just something I can just put on somebody that gives them a extra accuracy or something. Yeah.
Can I change my loadout to loadout 3 offensive?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Light stabilize.
Oh yeah.
Again, you've heard all about that. Virtue signaling, which allows it turns one cuck into a beta. I don't know. What is it? Virtue signaling. Right, what does that mean? What does that mean? If virtue is a signal to you,
we've got
a sociopath.
We've got 4 minutes. Let's get our loadouts together.
Level. Okay. Yeah. And then I'm not. Yeah. Then it's summon monster and divine favor. Summon monster is hair trigger. Can't wait to do that.
Moo.
Oh, can you summon a cow? Well, who cares?
What? No,
it's fine.
Oh yeah. Well, I wouldn't. I mean,
I'm not trying to give you guys. The answers. I mean, not that that's the answer. So just a summary of your preparations. Where is this going to go down? In which farm? Which area? The McNeil's farm.
Outside Donovan McNeil's farm.
Okay, so like just the cow place where cows would be. And then you put a circle of hay.
Right, and I hide among
and
the hay.
And a hay stack.
Yes.
To hide in.
And these two are dressed as cows.
In cow form.
Being pretty pretty lifelike cow.
Eating the grass, I heard, even. Yeah. What anything else is that? Anything else you guys are going to do?
We got our loadouts. We got our
they
spells.
They changed their loadouts.
Our spells ready to go.
All right.
Learn a loon out. Something. I know it's zero of that song. That song is all frog DNA. And you learn a spell right on.
Is it like part of my spellcraft or craft or not craft but spellcraft? Is there anything I could do to kind of summon like these demons, like kind of like bring them out into the into play?
No.
I mean, just the way we're dressed is we're asking for it.
Not if I understand that.
All right. We're gonna wait this out, you guys.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are your guys' HP? Just to be clear.
Oh, fuck.
Has anyone gotten
well, I haven't been injured recently, what? Right? So I'm 15.
Have we been healed?
That's the thing. You guys got in a fight. Well, that's part of
you
preparations.
Guys right? I can... Let me heal you.
Heal us.
I think I'm 14, although I took a few damage, but I ate the good berries. So
you ate the good berries.
Yeah.
I need healing.
What kind of healing? The burst, the blast, or
yeah,
the spell?
Channel energy.
Okay. All right. He heals him for 10.
Nice. That's I'm fully healed. Thank you.
Silver flame protects all.
Moo.
You're right. Good.
So now we just find out if it's worthwhile doing this and wait for the demons to attack us.
All right. Night falls on the first day. You hear something. It's the barest, slightest of rustling.
Moo?
It's coming from the north. Coming from north.
North.
I heard something from the north. Guys, everybody play it cool. Play it cow-like. We got bogeys on the wire.
Can't hear
I move into resting position. Start eating some of that grass.
And it's nighttime. And would cows be eating grass at nighttime? Well, it just factors into your disguise roll.
God.
Is that...
Yeah. I guess
the horses make that sound. All right.
I can hear my heart pounding in my throat. I'm so
me too. Like, I'm scared because my role is to get like pounced upon. I don't know when the right time is to go. Surprise, hey. Motherfucker!
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm about to.
Okay? So the rustling stops as if the thing froze. Right? It's like it's being cautious, and then you hear it take a couple cautious steps forward. But it's still nowhere near you. It's still at least 30 feet away from your.
Hold on.
Are you actually speaking or
no?
Okay. I'm making my tail move back and forth a little bit.
Very clever.
All right, this
move.
Is okay. All right. I'm gonna fucking do it.
Wait for it.
What are you gonna do?
Wait
no,
for it. Wait for
up.
It. Don't wait for it.
All right, I wait.
I take some steps north and continue mooing.
All right. It takes two steps backwards now. It's like being weirded out by you guys.
Surprise, motherfucker! I fling off my cow costume and I cast the light. I cast a light spell.
Okay. Wait, where do you cast it? Just on you?
On my hand? Can I do that?
Yeah.
I'm just like, what's up?
Yeah.
Well, While he does that, I take out my bow and I get ready to shoot it.
Okay, yeah. Immediately, you illuminate your surroundings, and there's kind of a glare as your eyes quickly adjust, and you can see an outline kind of on the edge of the farm. It's too far away to be kind of caught by your light, because it's pretty far away, and the light doesn't go super far. But it looks like it's a robed figure, and it leaps up into the air and flies away.
I fucking said wait for it.
Let's get out. Come on, let's get out.
We run after it. We start running after the figure.
All right. It's going towards the church building.
Wait, is it flying?
Oh, yeah. It flew.
It's a flying creature.
It's a flying dude. It's a hooded figure.
Yeah, but who knows what's under that hood?
We're going to find out next time. Cliffhanger! Steve Levy, everybody. Thank you to Caitlin Bird for coming up here and being tremendously awesome. Professor Crittenden, I'm Jeff Davis. Thank you, Zach, Church, Kevin, Sarah, everybody here. Chris Boroff, of course, our producer. I'm your comptroller, Jeff Davis. Your mayor is Dan Harmon. Thank you so much. Drive fast. Take chances. Dress like cows. Wait for it.
It's the Starburns Industries Tape of the Month Club. 12 original cassette tapes delivered to your door. Each month, you'll receive a crisp new cassette tape of auditory delights made by some of the most funky and creative artists around. Featuring Dino Stamatopoulos, Natalie Palamides, Johnny Pemberton, Dan Harmon, Future Ladies of Wrestling, Alan Resnick and Dina Kalberman, Dynasty Handbag, Jeff B. Davis, Rob Schraub, Lance Bangs, DJ Doug Pound, Kron, Open Mike Eagle, Ron Lynch, and on and on and on. Subscribe now. $13 gets you a crisp, unique tape in the mail each month. For $20, you receive a portable cassette player so you can listen to your tapes on the go. Here's how to order. For credit card customers, please call 747-888-0945. That's 747-888-0945. Or save COD charges and log onto the World Wide Web at d.rip/sbi-press. It's a good deal.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it. And here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right. Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh my God.